No, bitch, not that big.
Oh, there's a good intro quote.
See, that just proves how little I pay attention to what Fort Max has to say. I didn't even notice it till you brought it up.
Then again, neither did I, and I was paying attention.
Well, there's your first mistake.
3, 2, 1. And now it's time for another superhero time with your hosts, XV.
Speaking of which, your mother.
Hey, Mickey.
It's like staring into an ugly sun.
Paladin.
There's a thin line between douche and dick.
Ken.
What a good pirate.
And Fort Max.
We'll be right back.
All right, it's superhero time. Something, 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 something. Wingus is with us this week.
Hi.
Hooray.
Yo.
Ken is still suffering from his horrors of impending holiday retail, and so we have our guest Wingus to fill in this week. Unfortunately, there's no Forze or anything else for me to throw him under the bus with.
Or any spider fangires.
Damn.
You'll still find a way.
Yeah, we totally had Wingus on last week, because we made that Kiva section a lot more enjoyable.
It really would have, but it would have required him to watch the episode, which he probably hasn't.
I started Kiva, but then I forgot about.
But then you noticed the spider in that one episode kind of left off, huh? So, the rest of our normal cast is here. Hey, Mickey.
Yo.
Fort Max.
Normal cast?
And Paladin.
Hello.
Yeah, normal cast as opposed to the cast we do usually.
Irregular cast.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should just cast off.
Oh.
So, you know, Wingus, it's funny you're here, actually, because just the other night I killed this giant spider crawling on my phone.
Did you kill it with your mouth?
No, I smashed it with one of my remote controls. Well,
awesome.
Smashed in a sense of the word. I, jammed the thing down onto it, but it was so big that it didn't really smash. It just kind of crushed.
Guess the context.
I mean, that thing must have been an inch wide, easy.
That's what she said.
Was it leaking anything?
That's also what she said.
Yeah, it left a slimy little trail after it as it slid down.
Was it a penis?
Unfortunately, there's no way to ambiguously answer that question, is there?
Sure there is.
Well, it had 8 legs and it was hairy.
Ambiguous Penis is going to be the name of a band.
That's an awesome band name. Schrodinger's Dick.
Yes! Because unless you observe it, you don't know whether or not it's actually in your mom's box.
Awesome.
Wait, we're less than 3 minutes into the show, and look at how much Wingus has already improved it over normal.
Oh, yeah.
Him and his irrational fear of spiders.
Somehow led to dick jokes. I'm okay
Everything
with this.
Leads to dick jokes.
Especially around here.
So you could say you guys don't dick around with getting to the dick jokes.
Now who's doing bad puns?
I'm the punching master, bitch.
There's your intro quote.
Yeah, except that Wingus isn't in the intro.
Yeah, f*** it then.
Just use the word Ken's quote instead.
Yeah, nobody will notice the difference.
That would actually be kind of hilarious, wouldn't it?
That's what Ken gets for having a job.
Yeah, well, one where he has to work Monday nights. Well,
he quit for us.
I offered to postpone the show until tomorrow night, but he figured he'd be too tired from working, like, back-to-back shifts.
Baby.
I know! You know, if he can't be with it enough to sit here with us for 4 hours and record on his one night off this week, I mean, where is his head at? His heart is just not in this work.
And the rest of him is in your mom.
All right.
I'm calling a band meeting. We need to vote Ken out.
and replace him with Razor Saw?
With Wingus, of course.
Oh, okay.
Until he crosses us.
Yes.
I'm too lazy to cross anybody.
Until he gets his internet radio show started back up again.
Yeah, but that always ends before this starts.
Yeah, but you know, you'll start back up again, then you'll decide that you're like too tired to do this show after doing that for an hour.
Pshaw.
I rarely hear anybody actually like outright pronounce that. You are a strange and unique something, Wingus.
I'll take that as a compliment.
You shouldn't.
It's the closest thing I'll get to one on this show.
Damn right. So, the news.
And Julie Lewis.
There was a hell of a lot of Forza stuff this weekend.
Yay!
For some reason.
Like, we actually know what the secondary rider in Forza looks like.
This seems a little soon, don't you think?
No.
Not really.
Okay.
Because he'll end up premiering, like, early February at the latest, I figure.
And he'll be introduced in the movie, and that's, Maybe. What, next month?
Yeah, the end of next month, I think. So, I mean, it about works out right. I mean,
about
I think
the same as when we first saw Birth.
And
okay, I can't remember those things.
Probably. So, the secondary rider is Kamen Rider Meteor.
And he looks awesome.
And he has the head of Sonic the Hedgehog.
The costume looks awesome because it's got that Starfield pattern painted onto it. But the only action figure we've seen so far seems to just be a flat black body.
Well, we're going to be seeing more of the suit than we will be seeing of the action figure. So that's kind of what I'm concentrating on.
Well, yeah, but, my problem with it, though, is that, you know, let's say that this rider is really awesome in the show and you want to have a toy of it. But then all the
then
toys
you'll get
are
the SIC version.
Man, just imagine that would be like all translucent and sparkly inside.
It would be incredible.
But no, I'm just saying, though, you know, until the bigger, expensive figures come out months later, your only option for a toy is going to be really boring in comparison to the image on the show.
I love how the suit has got so much insane going on with it. I mean, he's got Batman Returns Catwoman's outfit with Donald Trump's stars pattern over it. He's got a planetarium on his belt, a trumpet on his arm, a comet on his head, and he's wearing Worf's sash.
Well, I don't really think I could have broke
Mercury
that down.
Shoes.
I don't think I could have broke that down any better. And he's taken Earthworm Jim's pocket rocket and turned into a motorcycle.
This is like the best Kamen Rider costume I've seen in a very long time.
And like I said, the costume looks fantastic. I really like the way they went with that. I will be interested to see how the Figure Arts version ends up turning out in, you know, 8 or 9 months.
To see if it's any more detailed or less detailed.
Yeah, I mean, the Figure Arts is what I would expect has the most chance of getting the style correct with all the little stars painted on and everything. Because, you know,
I assume we can expect limited articulation in his right arm.
Probably not any more than Drake, who still had normal level of articulation. It was just a little impeded around the shoulder because of the chest wing deal.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I've seen, it was not anything severely bad. You know, it's not like how O's combo change Birth ended up missing a couple of major articulation points in the arms just because of the design. Of course, it would have to be the right arm, wouldn't it?
So what exactly does the Meteor Belt do?
I don't think we know, do we?
It turns you into a Kamen Rider.
It looks like it spins around. It looks like it spins around and makes flashy lights.
It plays music, too.
Yeah, he's got a disco ball on his belt.
Disco crotch.
Yes.
That's another band name. I'm writing these down.
Good. And Meteor's bike is the Machine Meteor Shooter.
Continuing the tradition of Kamen Rider's bikes having incredibly dumb names.
Well, this is at least a little more straightforward to, you know, English speakers than the Machine Meshigler. Yes. Not that Forze ever hardly uses his own bike. I imagine
using the effects budget on the power dizer.
Yeah, I imagine the meteor shooter will appear once, maybe twice in the show, and then just like Forze's bike. Hey, where'd that thing go? But you know, who needs a motorcycle when you have a rocket for an arm?
Mm-hmm. Well, even the ride
to the junkyard with Uva,
or two rockets.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the ride vendor seemed to hang around a little bit better for the length of O's than, you know, other bikes have.
But it was pretty much gone for the last third of the show.
Well, so was most of the writers.
Ba-boom.
So was most of the story progression, which I guess is the same idea.
Well, still got used more than Decade's bike.
Yeah,
Decade
I guess.
Had a bike?
In once. Episode one.
Yeah, it turned into the auto vagin.
That sounds dirty.
Doesn't it, though? So, yeah, there was also more Forze module change figures shown with, three new states?
Well, first is Fire State.
That's technically a new state.
Yeah.
What modules?
It comes with, what the hell is that fire extinguisher's name?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It's the one that's not
your arm.
It's the one that's not Billy the Rod.
See, if it had a name too, it would be a lot easier.
We'll call it Rescue Roy.
Okay.
Rescue Rod.
Because it hits the red stuff with the wet stuff. What?
No comment.
What? That's a perfectly valid Transformers reference.
No comment.
Okay then. It comes with Rescue Roy, Gatling Gun, Shield, and Beat, yeah. I think, is the last one.
The bass speaker?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that needs to be paired with Disco Ball. Okay, then there was Magnet States.
Right. This is the first time we've seen Magnet State.
Yeah. It's different.
We're guessing this is Foz's equivalent of Tajidoru and Fang Joker, right?
Actually, I was thinking that Double Rocket's probably the Fang Joker. Magnet States will probably be the first post-40 state. Except that was Switch's 30 and 31, wasn't it? So that kind of shoots that one down.
Yeah. Yeah. The Rocket Switch isn't really numbered. It's just S1.
Super 1.
Isn't that a Kamen Rider name?
Yes.
Yes.
A Kamen Rider designed by NASA.
Really? Or just in Cho?
Really.
Huh. Okay.
That's the story, anyway.
Well, whatever.
Also known as Strongman.
Right.
At your service.
We love our Saban's Masked Rider references. As
we
long
have,
as we don't...
Nobody
as,
else will.
As long as we don't have to watch any of it. So magnet switches seem to be hooked together via a cell phone.
And turn into guns.
Guns are good.
Usually.
Don't magnets kind of muck up cell phones? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm applying logic.
Yeah.
Don't apply science to a show that involves, you know, astronauts in space.
Right, science fiction. Right.
But no, it's probably like an electromagnet, so when they're using the phone, the magnet's turned off.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Then it's fine.
Well, who knows?
Or they're using
the
magnet
to
make
anyway.
Electricity.
Well, science, stop it.
Well, they have Billy the Rod for that.
Yeah, you plug the phone into Billy the Rod and it recharges.
But Billy the Rod doesn't have power unless you plug him into himself, though.
Well, that's why he's got three outlets.
Oh, good point.
You know, you plug
but
Billy
those
the Rod.
Outlets, though, those are inlets.
You plug Billy the Rod into itself, and then you get the power flowing, then you plug the cell phone in the other two slots. And that
Billy
powers
can plug
it.
Both ways.
Sex
or...
joke. Oh.
Sometimes at once. So Magnet States looks kind of interesting, I guess.
It also comes with another stretch arm thing. I don't know what the f*** that is.
Magic hand? Except this one's on the leg. Yeah, this one's on the leg. And it comes with the best switch of all. Segway! Of course,
that sound was Segway going off the cliff.
Of course, they're calling it the wheel module, but we all know what it's supposed to be.
It's a friggin' Segway foot.
Yeah,
I can only picture Forza skating around with one leg extended behind him like a ballerina or an ice skater.
Well, no. See, what needs to happen?
No, it would be it's a ballerina if Inoue's riding.
Yeah, but then somebody. Well, okay, yeah, that worked because it'd be a ballerina. He'd be going off a cliff and then he would die. So that all pretty much fits together.
Going off that bridge into the ditch.
I don't think that would kill him though. I don't think that's a high enough cliff.
He's using the rocket switch. The impact is.
Well, see, that's what I was going to say, though. The way the Segway switch should work is that he gets a copy of Rocket to put on his leg. And then, you know, he extends his leg out behind him and it rockets him along. Makes perfect sense.
So when's he going to get the
what?
The wing glider suit that Wally Cody had.
Wait, what?
He keeps getting all these horrible attachments that caused all these Wally Cody-style accidents happening to him. So. Yeah, he's using like the wing glider suit now.
Okay, you were saying Wile E. Coyote. It sounded like you were saying Wally Cody.
Oh, sorry.
And I was like, what the hell?
Am I breaking up or is I just being retarded?
I think you just have bad diction.
Oh, your diction.
Yeah. Wingus, I blame you for this.
I accept your blame because it amuses me.
This is all Decade's fault.
Well, then we're going to have you on the show more often, Wingus.
Does that make me Decade?
What?
Sure.
Yay!
Yes, that makes you Decade.
I'm going to go draw a UPC scan on my face now.
Decade sounds like a horrible drink.
Well, not according to your mom. So anyway...
Is that all the Forza crap?
There's even more crap. Specifically, four new food droids.
You would think after the first ones are shelf-warming like mad in Japan. I mean, that's like the only Forza toy you could go into a store and reliably expect to find. And they're making more of them. I don't really...
Are they shelf-warming? How do we know this, exactly?
Word of mouth.
Okay.
Because you can still buy them on the internet.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. You know, it's very hard to get drivers. It's hard to get the figures unless you're camping on pre-orders or, you know, the moment the stuff goes up for actual order. And, you know, forget the Astro Switches entirely. But food droids,
I don't understand any of that because who would want the stuff to begin with?
Well, presumably somebody likes it.
I can't accept that answer.
I wouldn't want a driver, but I wouldn't mind some Forza figures.
Yeah,
I'll
maybe
get the Figuarts eventually. Probably.
I doubt it. You'll try to get the Figuarts, but you'll miss the pre-order, and that'll be the end of it.
I already have missed the pre-order.
And that'll be the end of it. See?
Dang it.
Now, D-End was with Decade, right?
Yeah. Or Die-End.
No, it's pronounced D-End, remember?
You know, if you're all, like, Southern and uncultured.
Which you are.
Your mother's uncultured.
Okay, so
cultured some yogurt in your mother.
So what are the new food droids?
Well, first off is Hula Shake.
Yeah, we knew about the milkshake one coming up when the first food droids were announced. But then there's actual new ones now.
Yes, there's a hot dog, an ice cream cone, and whatever the fuck that white box is.
Yeah, we can't really figure that one out.
I say it's a salad.
It's a to-go box.
It's got to be a salad because what else is the cheerleader going to carry around for food?
Well, the cheerleader can carry around a hamburger. She just has to throw it away later.
Or toss it, or hand it to Nom Nom, so...
Munchies. We're calling her Munchies. But yeah, I guess it would make sense for the cheerleader to carry around a salad that she can toss.
Ba-dum-bum-sh.
So the hot dog appears to turn into a tank.
Yes.
Wiener tank!
Excellent.
Buy hot dogs or we will destroy you.
And the ice cream cone seems to be a hermit crab.
It looks awesome.
It looks more like some type of horrible Mario flower enemy. Like it'd be bobbing and swaying in the background, but then trying to reach forward and grab you.
You lost me at bobbing and swaying in the background.
Wink.
Of course, it looks less like an ice cream cone than it does like some kind of crazy handheld drill. Well, it does. I'm sure there's all kinds of things you could do with that ice cream cone.
Just ask the cheerleader.
Yeah.
Hi-yo!
The hell was that?
That was me.
Okay, moving right along. So the mystery white box turns into a white something else we can't identify.
It's a bomb, so I guess it gets tossed.
No one can really manage to toss your mom.
This conversation is terrible. Let's move on.
Yeah,
they're all terrible.
I'm sort of inclined to agree. Are there any more Forza toys or anything? I guess we didn't exactly
fire states.
I guess we didn't exactly talk about double rocket states, but that's just, you know, two rockets and an orange figure, which I approve of, but, you know.
How's he going to stop?
Well, he'll hit a wall eventually.
I think he can will the actual rockets to turn off, but yeah, you...
Whoa, how's he going to transform back if he doesn't have hands?
Well, the regular rocket switch... Oh, wait, it's not on a spur and he has to pull it back up. Crap.
His legs can get contorted in very flexible ways.
He'll hit it with his nose.
Magic leg?
Maybe that's what that's for.
That's what all the other riders are showing up for, is to turn off all the switches that he can't get to. Guys, well, I need a hand!
It is Gintaro, and thinking ahead's not really his specialty, so he would totally switch on two rockets at once and not really think about the consequences of that action.
Yeah.
It's okay, though, because Daimonji would just leap on his back again and make him crash like he did last time.
So what need is there for two rockets?
What?
Double what rocket power, man.
To do what with, exactly?
Fly faster. Hit harder.
Well, we heard you like rockets, so here's another one. Just wait until
I can imagine him pointing his arms in opposite directions and spinning really fast.
Just wait until
exactly
the summer.
Exactly what he'll do because he's Gintaro.
Just wait until the summer movie when he's got four rockets.
Spoilers: the rocket form is actually Top Man.
Well, no. If it was Top Man, he'd have to use the drill switch at the same time.
But then you just use Hard Knuckle to stop him.
You can tell Wingus is on the show when there's the Mega Man jokes.
Ha ha!
I never forgot why Top Man was vulnerable to the Hard Knuckle. It didn't make a lot of sense.
Because everybody has to be vulnerable to something else.
Well, so what's up with Top? Why would we do it by punching it?
Well, they ran out of better choices.
It knocks him off balance.
Did you learn anything from Superboy Prime? Punching fixes everything.
Yeah.
That's true.
Everyone should be weak to rocket punches.
If only punching fixed Transformers Prime.
Aww.
Did that get the toys here faster?
So, moving along, more news?
Well, yeah. There's this oversized Fire Smasher toy available only in Bandai Asia markets now.
I wouldn't really call it oversized.
Well, compared to the rest of the Samurai roleplay crap?
Well, but if you stop and think about it, in terms of relative scale, it's probably exactly correct.
I had time to stop and think, I wouldn't be on this damn show.
That's very true. I mean, I'm surprised week after week when you keep showing up. And yet, I'm not surprised at all when Fort Max keeps turning up.
Ben seems to be in agreement.
Always.
So, yeah, the Fire Smasher is in the same line as the Deluxe Shotaphone and bigger Spin Sword that have turned up in the Bandai Asia markets.
Because what Bandai really hates is Americans.
No, what Bandai of America really hates is Americans. I think the other Bandais are just indifferent.
Now, we're gonna get our Fire Smasher. It'll be all the $12 worldly web play scale.
That would be hilarious.
Fire Smasher will be like one of those foam Nerf swords.
No, no.
That would be awesome.
No. I got this figured out. Like Mickey said, it'll be in the regular roleplay assortment, but it'll be locked into the gun mode. So you can't even use it as a sword, it's just a little gun toy that shoots the little mini discs. Or no, not even the discs, it'll have little foam missiles that it'll shoot.
It'll be a red-red color of the spin sword.
Just like the Barracuda blade will be a gold recolor of the spin sword.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Make this happen. What'll be better, though, is when the wood spear and the water arrow are also recolors of the spin sword.
No, they could actually release those at that price point, couldn't they?
Conceivably, yes. I'm not entirely sure how tiny they are, but they are tiny.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Ah-ha!
Penises. Ha.
Look at our show.
Must we?
Do we have any more news?
Wait a minute. Oh, yes. There's a new trailer for Movie Wars Megamax, and we see another new
Cripes.
O's form. Because, damn it, there just aren't enough Tamashii Web-exclusive O's Figo Arts yet.
He's so colorful.
You say that like it's a good thing.
I say that like it's an overwhelming thing.
I'll give you overwhelming. Because I look at it and it's like, ah!
It's not very super.
I like
super,
it as a concept.
Well,
I like it as, not so much.
I'm not
I like
against
it as an ice cream bar.
I'm not against the concept of an upgraded Tatoba form. It's just that every single thing they went about doing it is wrong.
Okay, like no, not exactly. The arm claws look cool.
Okay, like, the physical changes, that's fine. But in combination with how they decorated it, no. No.
Well, the undersuit he's wearing looks like it doesn't fit, so it looks like he's wearing a big garbage bag tied up around his armpits.
I honestly think that is a result of using a yellow bodysuit. Like, any of them would look like that if they were not black or a dark color.
Well, if they made the plastic or the bodysuit matte colored instead of the shiny colored, I think it would look a lot better.
Yeah, that would have helped a lot.
The problem like, is Gokai they got yellow. The person who made the Saban Dragon Shield.
Oh, if only.
A quilted rider suit.
Yeah, the chest pattern's just sewn in.
It's made of aura felt.
I was going to say something there, but it escapes me.
Probably for the best.
But no,
the problem I have is that the red of it is way too dark compared to the green and the yellow.
Mm-hmm.
That red needs to be a lot brighter.
Yeah, there's color value issues with it, to be sure. Either that or the yellow needs to be darker.
I think also, the red's metallic and nothing else is.
It doesn't really make any damn sense.
Yeah, which actually is pretty much on cue for O's, isn't it?
I suppose, yeah.
It's just sort of a mess that just has some good ideas but doesn't really work as a whole.
I mean, I'm not exactly sure what they could have done to Super Tatoba to make it look extremely distinctly different from the regular form. Because, you know, just amping up the claws and the hawk head probably wouldn't quite do it. On the other hand, this is just not right.
Do you know what would have worked? If they had went with a white undersuit like they did with Putaterra?
Yeah, I could see that.
That would have possibilities.
And maybe did the like power coin chest symbol the same way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And keep the modded parts, the shoulders and the arms, but they just kept the simple white undersuit. That would carry over from Putaterra's more powerful look.
Yeah, I could see that. And it would also like hint that, okay, these are not ones that can be like swapped between other forms either.
Yeah. Yep.
Even if the metals hadn't been swallowed by a black hole. What the hell, O's? But no, the only thing I can think of when looking at Super Tatoba is when Mickey said a few weeks ago about something being like looking into an ugly sun. It's the most appropriate description. It is like staring into an ugly sun.
I hate to admit this, but I thought about reusing that joke again, talking about Super O's, but I decided against it.
It would not have been out of place. It's okay, I made mention of it, so that almost counts.
Yeah.
It's okay. I've got that sound clip somewhere. I'll just dub it in at the start of the conversation. That'll work, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, any more news?
No, I think that's it this time.
Cool. Let's go to Gokaiger.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action.
Yay!
Right, let's go.
Because we don't have any Forze this week.
Boo!
Hooray!
And Ken's not here to cover the relay race for us.
I hope somebody won.
Because we didn't have to watch it.
I hope somebody died.
Just your mom.
Oh. Well, it's not like she could make it around the track anyway.
She is around the track.
The track is on her.
Yeah, the course is to run around the length of her waist.
In 80 days.
Okay, Paladin.
I think that counts as a Jules burn.
That's incredible.
Well, he is the Pungent Master.
Yes!
Penalty box, 2 minutes.
So, Paladin, why don't you run down Gokaiger for us?
Sadly, I expected that.
Well, Mickey got to do it the last 2 weeks.
Alright, the episode opens with a fight with the supersized Scorman, so they summon Mach Falcon again to form Gokai Professor Xavier.
How powerful your new mecha is by using it against, you know, goons.
Well, yeah. it's an army of goons. That's got to count for something, right?
It was 2 of them, wasn't it?
No.
Might have been more than 2.
No, there were. It looked. I think there were just 2. I guess the 3rd suit may have gotten broken or something.
I was under the impression there was a lot more of them.
So anyway, what do you call it when just the galleon attaches? Gokai Stephen Hawking?
Oh.
I'm not sure how I feel about that one. I think with just the galleon attaches, we should call it Gokai Segway.
Right off the cliff it goes.
We must run this joke off the cliff and onto the ground.
I think we have.
I think it's time to segue into a new joke.
But segue is such a funny word. Especially when it relates to going off cliffs.
Put you off a cliff.
Oh, believe me, they've tried.
Once the fight's over, Mach Falcon asks what kind of ultimate power the Gokaigers have.
Seems sensible enough.
Proving that even a car is smart enough to ask questions the Gokaigers aren't.
Well, hey. The car is voiced by Wild Tiger. That's got to be worth something.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Welcome to my world.
All right, so anyway, keep going.
All right, Commander Nepotism is visited by the Zangiac Red Guards.
The Dogorman.
The Emperor's Royal Guard.
Exactly. Yes. And they bring him his own personal Megazord, the Great Walls.
Of China.
No, the
And by own personal Megazord, you mean it's personalized with his face on his stomach.
Yes. Great that's not walls creepy of, at all.
Great Walls of Fire.
Goodness gracious. At least it isn't an endless waltz.
Oh.
I think this episode can be considered a war crime from the number of puns we're doing. I
blame Wingus.
I accept your blame. Again.
We'll see how far I can push that. Okay, so back up the Great Walls.
They all admire the new Megazord, and back on the Galleon, Marvelous asks Guy if he really means it when he says he wants to protect Earth from the Zangiac. Because Marvelous still remembers when Akkared died to save him, so he thinks the actual definition of protect a planet means die horribly in honor of it.
That's probably not entirely out of place, either. It is a space empire they're fighting.
Yeah, you know, we've known this backstory to Marvelous before, but I think this is the first time they've actually shown it in such a way that it gives any meaning to how Marvelous actually thinks of the world and of why he doesn't want to protect anything, because protecting means you die.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it that way, too.
I like not being dead.
It gives his character greater depth than we had before. It explains why he's so aloof to everything.
There's the other part of this, too, which, you know, gets alluded to later on. You know, Akka Red was the leader of the Red Pirates, and he died to save his crew, even if it was just Marvelous and Navi. You know, so that's another thing that's weighing on Marvelous's mind. He's the leader of the Gokaigers, so...
Yes, it's and then we get some great moments from Gills.
Gills? Plural?
Well, he probably has gills. He's an alien.
Is it Exceed Gills? Agito jokes.
What's an Agito?
Something you should be watching.
Yeah, you really should, but that's a topic for another day.
Hey, I'm still working on Geki Ranger.
That's cool. I applaud the effort. Golf clap.
Golf fap.
Give your mom a clap.
Oh.
Okay, so while Paladin continues talking, I'm going to eat some Skittles.
Eat them wildly.
I have a giant bag of Skittles here, and I'm not afraid to use it.
Share, dude.
Spoiler, he won't.
No.
Okay, so Gil wants to take the new Megazord out for a spin, of course. And we get a flashback to seeing when Domerus actually met the Emperor. And I think this is the first time we've ever actually seen the Emperor, isn't it?
Yeah. Except on the money, maybe?
Yeah. And did we compare those? Does it match?
Well, I didn't look.
Yeah, all right. We wouldn't have gone through that much effort for this show.
Nah.
So, Gil was eavesdropping on the Emperor telling Damaris to watch over him.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just the translation, but it didn't sound like anything all that bad was said.
That could be Overtime's translation, too.
Well, it sounded more like that he was, that just to watch out, make sure he doesn't get himself killed. And that it should be plenty easy for anyone, that it should be plenty easy considering the Super Sentai have been defeated already.
Right. But the way Overtime phrased it, it didn't sound terribly insulting. I mean, I think we can all assume it was supposed to sound insulting.
Yeah, well, to be fair, Domerus didn't exactly seem thrilled about the concept of having to be with Gil.
The thing you have to remember, too, is that it is from Gil's point of view, where he doesn't feel like he needs anybody to attend him in that way.
That's true. Gil's also crazy.
Yeah. You know, Gil thinks he is a high and mighty successor to the throne.
And now, of course, with that, it wouldn't be negative, because... But Domerus, yeah, probably definitely sees Gil as the Emperor's idiot son.
Gil's kind of like Arnold Rimmer.
Without the H on his forehead, but yeah.
He thinks he's great, but really he's a screw-up.
Yeah.
Just the more time goes on, the more I realize I really want a Walt Gil figure arts.
Yeah, I can see that.
It would be an event exclusive or something, though.
I know. Yeah. It's never going to happen, but I still want one.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather have Bosco.
Well, human Bosco, yeah. Monster suit Bosco is just kind of,
I forgot about Bosco turning into a monster.
Hmm. Well, the writers may have, too.
Let's hope.
It'll come back around episode 47 or so. Which isn't far off.
It's getting closer all the time.
Do you like the end of Double?
We will react the same way, probably.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll all go into a state of denial after we pass episode 40.
Paladin?
So, yeah.
Go back to the episode?
Yes.
Okay. You'll send Barazorg down to Earth to stir up trouble so he can lure out the Gokaigers.
And, of course, also his brainwashed pet soldier is pretty much the only friend that he has.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yes, I am so going to miss him when he dies next episode.
Who, which Gil one? Or Barazog?
Either.
Right?
Either way, there'll be much slash fic written about them.
Oh.
If not already.
There already is.
How do you know?
It is the nature of humanity.
It's the internet. It exists.
It's the nature of your RSS feeds.
That's a variation of Rule 34, right? If
yes.
It exists, there's slash fiction about it?
Well, given that slash fiction is pretty much porno, yes, that falls under Rule 34.
No, but I mean like a specific variation that said that there must be slash versions of any porn that's out there.
Rule 34, sub clause A or something like that.
Well, slash right. fiction is just the porn that's written by females, so...
Or at least they're the only ones who will admit to it.
Are there guys pretending to be girls? Isn't that another one of the rules of the internet?
Yeah, that all the females are actually dudes.
Yeah.
Episode.
Oh, weren't we talking about Go-Katcher?
Yeah.
I'm not the one who started fight between Joe and Barazorg. Then they use the Gokai Galleon Buster again, but with Guy taking Joe's place, which is kind of interesting.
But still clinging tenaciously to Marvel's ass.
Yes.
Of course, that's what gives it power.
Yes.
It channels in through his ass.
Right, now we're back to the slash fic again.
And speaking of asses, the Gokaigers get their asses kicked by the Red Guards. So they bust out some of the extra
You are definitely
that they
three
yet.
Times faster.
I knew you were just waiting for that joke.
They're three times stronger anyway.
If he hadn't have made it, I was going to.
So we get Decaswan, who else?
Signalman!
Yes.
Wizard Fire.
Bull Black and Zubon.
Yes, I've been wondering all week if whoever turned into Zubon was going to do the Zuzu bit.
And Luca does, and it is adorable.
Luca's well, a better because... Zubon than Zubon.
And then they get into a verbal tick-off with
the Delgorman.
With the Royal Guards.
Yeah.
Well, they're pirates. They do that.
Yeah, the Delgorman did not seem impressed that she was imitating their thing.
And then, of course, Guy joins in.
Again, because he's Guy.
Yeah. Well, he's Guy Akari. He has to self-insert himself anywhere he can.
Especially when it costs a nickel.
Yeah. It costs a lot more than that with Luca.
She's a high-dollar whore.
Okay, so they do manage to fight off the Red Guards with the new keys, and they have a face-to-face confrontation with Gil. Have they ever actually been face-to-face before?
Yes, when they shot him.
Right.
Yeah, when Marvelous shot the crap out of him, which was awesome.
You mean
and also, last episode?
Well, that wasn't really face-to-face, because Gil was crouching behind a curb.
Yeah.
But no, it was great, too.
The Shinkinger thing.
It was great, too, because Joe referred to him directly as the Emperor's idiot son. I love the Gokaigers.
But since they won't bow before him, Gil launches the nepotism Megazord.
Yeah, Gil demands they submit to a prostate exam. Or die of colorectal cancer.
Oh.
It's messy.
Is it?
Probably.
It's a real pain in the butt.
Blood and feces everywhere.
That was bad.
What, dying of colorectal cancer? I would agree with that.
No, the pain in the... No, the pun.
I never said they were good puns.
So, Gil pulls out his Gundam.
Yeah.
Rise, Gundam!
It's a Gundam!
That's Gil basically calls... how it gets there.
Gil calls up Cyclopsis.
Which also doesn't actually do a damn thing.
Well, it sure stands there really good, doesn't it?
It's able to beat Mach Falcon, which isn't really saying much.
Well, we don't really know.
It reflected in the skyscraper.
Yeah, they've done that with a few things before, but it's always a good effect.
Yeah.
Plus, just think of all the time it took to build the skyscraper model with all those mirror panels on it.
Actually, it's probably just one mirror panel with a grid laid on top of it.
It's the same one that they have that they do all their reflections in.
Yeah, I know, but still, that had to be a lot of work to put that together and make that, all line up right.
No, they just need to do it once.
It's like a mile and a half from the creek and the bridge.
And yeah,
like
I'd like
4
to go,
miles from the rock quarry.
I'd like to go walk around their cityscape set.
That would be cool.
Just feel giant. Maybe fall on a couple of buildings.
The sad thing is that Saban's cityscape set would look much better.
It looked really good, except for the part where it was outside and there was giant rocks everywhere.
Ruining the scale.
Yeah. I mean, points for effort for sure, but
simply the fact that it was outside made the set itself look a whole lot better.
Yeah, and we get the same benefit with Sentai a lot more in recent years, too. A lot of their stuff is done outside when possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I always looked forward to the episodes that had the American original Zord fights because they were outside, and it just had a completely different feel.
And
to
it also allowed them, Saban, to do a lot more than Toei could do with doing
the
them
sound
on sound stages.
Yeah.
Because this way would allowed a lot more intricate camera work.
But back to the episode we're actually talking about. This is a good conversation. I'd like to have it another time, but for right now, let's get through Gokaiger.
All right, the mech suit judges the pirates' walls guilty.
I love that.
Yes.
I'm assuming that's just overtime again, though.
No. Gil actually said,
"I
pronounce you walls guilty."
Guilty in English.
Yeah. Well, close enough to it.
Yeah.
English.
Yeah.
Quick, put him in the next Ace Attorney game.
Objection!
Wolves guilty! And then shoot Phoenix with a laser.
Yeah, then he just stands there and fires his chest beam at Goju Gokaio for like 5 minutes. It was kind of like watching Dragon Ball Z, except it all happened in one episode.
And there was a whole lot less grunting.
That's because it only happened in one episode. You know, they need time to work the grunts in. That's how 5 minutes gets extended into 75 weeks. So then we go back to what we were talking about earlier in the episode with how Marvelous perceives the burden of command.
Right. He orders the other Gokaigers to abandon ship while they're still firing the laser.
While he's going to stay behind and make sure that they get out safely.
Right.
And send them out if he needs to.
Yeah, we finally found out what those five button things on the steering wheel do.
They're ejector seats.
Yeah, it's the escape transporter. Maybe that's how they get in there in the first place. He pushes the button and they all beam in.
But then how did he get in?
Because he's Marvelous.
That's in the galleon, you know, there's a door.
Well, they all go up into the galleon.
And into your mother.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like there are other Zords.
So they get teleported into separate locations, which I'm sure will have a story purpose next week.
But yes, three of them got transported to outside the building they were fighting in. The guy lands on the
roof
that
the
one
Dragon
rooftop
Zord
that they always fight on.
The roof the Dragon Zord attacked that time. And Joe landed in a street somewhere, I think.
Somewhere near Barazorg, I assume?
Probably.
Seems reasonable enough to me.
And Marvelous is still in the Gokai Galleon in the pose that says, "Oh, is he dead? No, wait, they spoiled it in the episode preview. He'll be fine."
Gokai wheelchair lasted all of two episodes.
Well, Gao Gokaio didn't really get that much screen time either.
Yeah.
Because it's really just a means to a bigger end than your mom.
A bigger, sturdier end.
thankfully, there wasn't any of that with Hurricane Gokaio.
What do you mean, thankfully? I would have rather had Hurricane Gokaio just be the bridge to something better.
I mean, with the whole riding on top of the power-up by your legs.
That's true. That would have been really horrible to see.
Yeah, the first version of the first version of Furaimaru power-up should have just been Gokaio riding on his shoulders. Fully formed, mind you, but, you know, just riding around while Furaimaru runs him around on his shoulders.
Well, they could have plugged him to the back of Hurricane Lion's back. I mean, you could never have enough lions to ride on, right?
Nope. Of course not. Totally forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, then they could have done? They could have Go-On Gokaio being towed by the two lions, like a chariot. No?
See, they'd have to find a way to work in the Geki Ranger ultimate power, because that sounds a lot like Side-Eye Geki Itoja.
No, they were only going to use that, could only use that once. They didn't have toys to sell.
Yeah. No, see, what the Hurricane Ranger ultimate power should have been is the Mammoth Zord. I don't know how, just that what it needed to have been.
Just so they could make the buildings retract into the ground again?
Of course. It's always about the buildings retracting into the ground.
Wait, so is Gokaio the carrier sword for this series?
I guess so.
Yeah, I suppose close
enough. No, the Galleon is the carrier zord, yeah.
That's a first.
Well, actually, Fort Max, you know, the Galleon contains one zord, and then that zord contains the next zord, and so on in the series. You know, they all pop out of each other. So technically, Gokaio is a carrier zord in one configuration.
Carrier zordception.
So what happens next week?
The true power of the Goanders. Cluster f***.
No, it's not a... That's not really a cluster f***. It doesn't have enough Zord parts in it to be the cluster f***.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. It only uses parts of three different Zords.
Maybe there's attachment points for all the accessory Zords somewhere on it.
Yeah, but then we'd have to see Magi Dragon again.
Well, just the addition of Magi Dragon alone would elevate it to cluster status, wouldn't it?
I guess you could put Magi Dragon on the back for wings. But then where would it go?
No. Magi Dragon would have to be attached to like, the sides of the arms or something awkward like that.
But then where would you put the Gow Lion?
Chest, sticking straight
everywhere.
Out.
Everywhere.
Well, yeah, but it's already got the stuff on the chest.
The legs would wrap around the waist.
I'm thinking in terms of adding on like power-up elements, not just attaching stuff for the sake of attaching stuff.
Oh, that's
but that's fun. The Goanger power.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
The Goanger power uses every part.
Right. The
Instead
Goanger...
of just the arms of one Zord, the Galleon, and the Falcon
guy.
For the legs and the chest and a hand.
Yeah, the notable thing about Goanger toys in terms of how they were developed is that every part of everything configures into the final form without leaving anything behind. Which is why G12 was so awkward looking.
And it's also
mispronounced awesome.
Okay, so let's take a break we can... What?
I just noticed something. I was just watching the episode, the title sequence. You know the scene where they're all falling and grabbing the keys?
Yeah.
I just now noticed that Aim is like holding her skirt down during that scene.
Of course, it would take you 37 episodes to pick up on that.
Well, usually the only thing I'm looking at those scenes is the Ranger keys. I don't really look at the actors.
Now I have to go look.
No, you mean you weren't looking at the actors? I mean, the actresses I could understand.
No, basically I'm looking at the Ranger keys trying to see how many I can identify while they're on screen.
I believe, like, within days of the first episode airing, somebody had determined that in that one sequence, nothing newer than G-Ranger appears. Which I point out only to prove that somebody's beaten you to that by, you know...
No, the Shinkenger there. And I see Gosei Knight.
And I think there's multiples of a couple in there.
That might have been the sequence before that, where there wasn't anything newer. One of those sequences with all the Ranger keys floating around, it was all, like, retro keys. Okay, so anyway, let's take a break so we can come back and blow through Power Playback and have a shorter show this week.
Hooray!
Paladin gave us a review of that armor transformation Gokai Silver toy, which will run right after this. So, yay!
You're listening to Superhero Time!
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record, news, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
Welcome again to Paladin's Place. The extreme popularity of Gokaiger has led to several alternate merchandising opportunities, including a very unusual new toy design referred to as the Auto-Morphing Armor System. Let's examine this new item, shall we? And who better to show it off than everyone's favorite self-insert fanfic ranger, Gokai Silver.
Gokai Silver!
The first half of the AMAS box set features a Gokai Silver action figure, a type of release that usually doesn't happen for Sentai outside of SH Figuarts, and even that could be considered rare. This version of Silver isn't quite as detailed as a Figuart release. The paint job is less impressive, the plastic quality is weaker, and the articulation level is much lower. It actually reminds me of Bandai of America's Power Rangers action figures during the twilight of the Disney era, which isn't really a bad thing. Despite the lower quality appearance, this Gokai Silver is still roughly in scale with most other Ranger figures and possesses some respectable articulation points, including bendable shoulders, wrists, elbows, knees, and a neck joint. In addition, Gokai Silver's signature weapon, the Gokai Spear, is part of the release, but unfortunately its second configuration, better known as Gun Mode, isn't part of the arsenal, which is probably my biggest disappointment with this figure. The other half of the AMAS set is Gokai Silver's unique power source, the Golden Anchor Key, the device that can unite the strength of all previous Six Rangers into one shiny attack form. According to the instructions, this Golden Anchor toy is also compatible with the Gokai Cellular, but the Cellular isn't part of my collection, so I haven't been able to test that feature. By sliding the key over Gokai Silver's shoulders, the Golden Anchor converts to battle armor. Follow that up by switching the Gokai Spearhead to anchor form and tilting Silver's helmet down, and the transformation to gold mode is complete.
Gokai Ten! Gokai Silver!
The gold mode design is replicated pretty well in this toy form, including the little detailed helmets of all 15 extra rangers who came before Gokai Silver. The armor is also light enough to not interfere with Silver's balance, and the shoulder pieces are wide enough to let Silver's arms retain full movement, which I think is pretty impressive. Since apparently the other Gokaiders can use gold mode at some point in the future, I did attempt to use this armor on my Figuarts Gokai Red, and the armor almost sort of fits. It's very loose on Gokai Red, and it can't really lock onto anything the way it does with Silver. But it's just as well. Marvelous doesn't need any extra gear to kick more ass. I wouldn't really call this auto-morphing armor system a great release, and it probably shouldn't be a priority for collectors, but I definitely don't regret spending money on it either. I think it's a fun representation of the character and his signature gimmick. Keep this one in mind at the very least. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time! Gokai!
You're listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Superhero Time's Power Playback every Friday afternoon on Twitter at TF Radio.
All right, so Power Playback this week, several weeks late,
is Let's Go is O's, Deno's, All Riders, Let's Go Common Riders, featuring Rider 1 and 2.
And Shin, who nobody can remember whose name it is.
Four other guys we don't know what the f*** they are.
Who's that?
You know those four weirdly colored guys towards the end?
Oh yeah, them.
The other Ishinomori heroes.
The ones that don't have a show, at least.
That sure was random.
The Keel Stealers.
Huh. So yeah, there was a movie and O's and Deno were in it. Well,
of course Deno was
Well,
in
mostly
it.
Rider 1 and 2, but...
Well, there was a Deno movie and O's was in it.
Well, that's how the Deno crossovers usually work. I mean, just look at Climax Deca. Kiva was in that for about 5 minutes total. And half of that was not even transformed.
I ain't complaining, it sold me on Deno.
Oh, is that all you've watched of Deno so far?
Yeah, it's Let's Go Kamen Riders in about, I think, 5 episodes so far. I've got it downloaded, I'm just being lazy.
You
well,
sure
this is
are.
The first thing I've
Too
watched
lazy
with
to
you
sit
Deno.
Down.
What, Paladin?
This is actually the first thing I've watched with new Deno in it.
You know, I was thinking in January we should take the whole month and do all the Cho Deno movies. Because there just happens to be 5 of them besides this one.
Because Deno is the climax that will never end.
Okay, one at a time, guys. Paladin
because
first.
Deno is the climax that will never end.
Right. And Mickey said,
I don't think I want to watch all the Cho Deno movies again. Some of them, yes. Some of them, no.
Okay, but you have watched them at least once, right?
Yes.
So that way, the ones that you don't want to watch over, you'll just work on your memories of. See? You wouldn't
because we've already established how great my memory is.
That will just make
add booze.
That will just make it more hilarious, though. How you fudge details, you know. All I'm saying is if you've already watched them once, you don't necessarily have to watch them over again when I post the power playbacks. You see?
Now, episode yellow is the one where the Denliner went to Spain, right?
No, it's the one where the Denliner went to space.
Right.
Space, Spain, same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. The rain
in space over time falls in Spain doesn't have the right ring to it.
I was going to say the rain in space falls mainly in your face, but yeah, that works too.
It rains on your mom's face.
And by rain,
that's not rain.
Gintaro, put your pants on.
Hey, wait, since when is rain yellow?
Space rain.
That is not a pleasant afternoon. That's not a pleasant afternoon shower.
Well, it's pleasant
well, space. Somebody. Nothing's pleasant.
Okay, so back to the movie.
So aboard the Denliner, the Imogen are fussing with each other.
Well, first, though, the movie opens with O's fighting a very strange thing.
Three very strange things.
And they're not emitting any core metals when struck.
Well, neither do yummies.
Yeah, they do.
He said core metals.
Oh,
did I?
Sorry. I've seen cells.
Well, yeah.
So was he.
When I said core metals, I saw the image of cell metals in my head, so that's what counts.
Mind reading.
Exactly.
New podcast.
One day the technology will catch up with us. But in the meantime, Ankh arrives and says, hey, those aren't yummies, you dumbass.
Pretty much.
Well, I mean,
they run away and jump into a little boy.
Well, yeah, Imogen will do that. Well, it is
the Penn State Athletic Department or something.
It is Japan.
Oh.
I don't get the reference.
I don't get the reference either, but I was ignoring it.
Yeah, Fort Max, you're not allowed to do sports references because we don't get those.
Yeah, it always baffles me when Fort Max talks about sports stuff because it just seems so out of character, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, whenever he's not, you know, watching Toku, he's on the couch with a brew watching the game.
I wonder if Fort Max does drink because that seems like it'd be kind of scary. I mean, look at how much trouble he has completing a thought while sober. So anyway, after the Imogen run and enter that young boy in the street,
toot, here comes the Denliner.
Now, is that part of the euphemism or not?
I don't know.
It is now.
And out pops some douche with really badly dyed blonde hair.
Nugent shows up, posing fabulously.
He got a new hairstyle since the last time we saw him, too.
So he doesn't always look like that?
No. Normally he looks more boring.
But he's still a douche. Not like a Zane douche, but he is a douche.
Well, what, like an Eric douche?
Well, a Zane douche is interesting. It's
fun to
watch the douchiness.
I could support the idea of Eric douchiness.
Because that means he's a competent douche.
Ish, yeah.
He's kind of a boring douche.
So yeah, he's an Eric douche. He can get stuff done, but he's boring and a douche at the same time. But yeah, that's Kotaro. He's new Deno.
He's not Kotaro.
Or as he introduces himself in this movie, just Deno. Because, sure. You know, Ryotaro and Hana and nobody of the regular cast is around except for Owner and Naomi.
And the Imogen.
Well, the Imogen will always be there.
Damn straight.
They'll be there for as long as the suits hold up. And then they'll just build new suits because they can't not
have Deno.
Then
they'll get upgrade forms.
That would be horrible. Battleizer Momotaros. So then stuff happens and I forget. See, I didn't actually watch the movie this weekend. I watched it, you know, the weekend it came out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, at this point, Dino takes off back in time to 11/11/1971, was it?
Yeah.
Which is mysteriously 40 years before this kid should have any memories.
So it's the plot to Big O?
Your mom's a Big O.
No, there weren't enough tomatoes.
Right. Well, it is Japan. Japan doesn't really have tomatoes, do they?
Probably not.
Okay, that's good enough for me.
So Dino takes off from the Dinliner, and AG and Ankh hop on like hobos riding a boxcar.
Well, AG is a hobo.
He's the magic hobo.
Is that like the magic school bus?
Fight, of course.
It's what they do.
And owner is creepy and off-putting.
And, well, that's what he does.
So it's a regular day on the Dinliner.
Pretty much, yeah. Except for that there's, you know, a hobo and a guy with really weird hair and a thing on his arm.
Crazy turkey guy.
Momotaros does not get along well with Ankh. Who would have thought?
Right.
I liked when he called him a bootleg-looking yummy.
Yes.
And then, of course, and of
although
course,
later,
got mad about being called a bootleg, and then, hey, shouldn't you be mad about being called a yummy?
And then doesn't later Momotaros call him, like, chicken fingers or something?
Turkey.
Yeah,
he goes back and forth between chicken and turkey.
Yeah.
Momo never calls anybody by their real name.
Well, no. Except Ryutaro. But he's not home today, so.
Yeah. His sister's probably making him eat something horrible.
Well, see, my take on this is that this version of Denliner is probably from farther in the future after Ryotaro has retired from being Denno. That's why Kotaro doesn't introduce himself as new Denno, because he just is Denno now.
And also why something later happens.
Yeah.
You know, it can be made to fit into Denno continuity if you look at it that way. It's just something that hasn't happened in the time frame of the series. That
time travel logic.
Exactly. It works for Star Trek.
Time travel logic and cat drugs.
Yeah, you called this cat drug McMovie when I asked you about it.
Yes.
What does that even mean?
This shit is bananas. You must be on this much crack to...
No, this isn't Metal Heroes.
I wasn't implying mountains of crack. Just
we'll get that in another movie later, though.
Okay, so
cocaine's Dino, a hell of a drug.
Dino dispatches of the Imogen, and then AG and Ankh. Ankh escapes the Dinliner to go after the core metals.
Yeah, they all look over and realize that hey, didn't that guy's hair change color? And Shingo's all passed out in the corner, and nobody noticed.
He's all passed out and dying.
To care about Shingo?
Well,
he's got minutes left to live, but oh.
Well,
they're on the Denliner, time suspended.
And nobody caring about Shingo is perfectly in line with how most of O's goes anyway.
Yeah.
Even the last episode.
So AG and the Imagine go off to go chase after Ankh's hand.
It sounds so hilarious when you say it like that.
It so they catch him and bring him back, but there's a problem. Ankh pooped out of metal.
So basically,
he laid an egg.
So now
after AG crashed on top of him.
So now we're kind of getting out of the Star Trek time travel logic and more into the Sound of Thunder.
Oh, have you seen that?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Oh, it's amazingly bad.
I
like
imagine
all the methods the Imogen have for trying to catch Ankh, too.
Like butterfly nets.
And fishing nets.
And a hammer.
What the hell is Kintaro's holding?
I think Kintaro's just had, like, one of those big baskety things that you, like, pile stuff in for displaying on a table.
A hamper?
No, like a a fruit bowl thing. Except it looks like a basket. Fruit bowl basket.
It's a basket.
A very shallow basket.
It's one of those baskety things that looks like a basket and you put stuff in.
Except that it's a basket.
It does not contain a murderous Geodude.
You get it down at the basket district downtown.
Wait, where did you get murderous Geodude from?
Have you seen the movie Basket Case?
No.
You should.
Okay. But
why
no,
questioning the basket and not Ryotaros' hammer?
Because it's always hammer time.
I think a hammer is a perfectly good way to subdue Ong's hand.
Okay, fair enough.
But no, in terms of the sound of thunder, I think I look at that movie the same way you look at Halle Berry Catwoman, Mickey.
Oh, I own Sound of Thunder.
Oh, good.
I paid $2 for it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. No, some things
I
are
love
bad.
It, PlayStation 1 special effects.
Some things are bad enough to pay $2 for. Your mom's not one of them, but some things are.
Anyway, so Ankh poops a medal and they all head home. But a shocker mook finds it.
E.
Fort Max?
E.
Is there any reason why the shocker grunts keep sounding like they're getting kicked in the balls?
That's just what they do.
Well, that look like skeleton luchadors.
See, what it is, the shocker grunts have all been turned into eunuchs. So it's not so much that they've been kicked in the balls as, you know...
They have none?
Yeah. You'd sound like that too if that had happened to you. But on the upside, now we know what's wrong with Fort Max.
Oh!
That's a ball burn right there.
Alright, so then Lair drops off AG and Ankh back home. Only, obviously, as we've all guessed, time has been altered, and now everything's all shitty and Shocker's in charge.
After AG goes... AG's underpants.
First thing that happens is some kids rob them blind.
So, with Shocker in charge, I wonder what the exchange rate is for the yen.
Well, it's gotta be better than what we got now.
Yeah, this might not be such a bad world to
live
in.
They have Shocker dollars.
You never know. But yeah, first thing that happens when they land, they get mugged.
And they lose the metal case. Again.
You know, that thing does not...
a terrible idea.
I was gonna say, I don't think Hina was really thinking clearly when she made that. Like,
how does she make that? Does she have a tool and die machine hidden away somewhere? Or?
Well, she is super strong.
She just did it herself.
You know, she probably just got a tool or die machine. She probably just got, you know, like a sheet of aluminum and like took a fork and just etched it herself. Or
it's
like chopped.
She just bent it.
Not even a fork. She just like took a chopstick and did it.
No, she just. No, used her fingernail.
Well, yeah, but the idea of using a wooden chopstick to etch metal because you're just that strong is funnier.
Yeah, true.
So the cops show up to quote-unquote help AG and Ankh when they're chasing us the muggers. But
through
surprise,
a shanty town that wasn't there before.
Yeah, that's a little different, too.
Yeah.
And by help, we mean punch Ankh in the face.
Yeah,
that's always help.
Yeah, that is typically helpful to punch Ankh in the face, and really, who doesn't want to punch Ankh in the face after talking to him for a minute?
And then again, considering this whole movie is his fault.
Yeah, he does kind of deserve it.
His fault.
Although, I guess it's kind of AG's fault, too, for landing on so hard that he, you know, shit coins.
Well, AG is like the worst Kamen Rider ever throughout this entire movie. I mean, seriously, he is pathetic.
Well, that's because this is a Denno movie.
Then he's
Nobody
running on
can
pure,
look better than Denno.
Right.
Pure PTSD.
And when the only Denno you have is new Denno, that's setting a pretty low bar.
To be fair, though, AG wasn't a terribly competent writer in his own series, either.
No, not at
he
all.
Had moments, at least.
I think...
Not many, but a couple.
But when you get upstage in competence by Goto... Ha Who is the Japanese equivalent of John Linnell?
Who?
That'd be Giants guy.
Who?
Did you just say who to a They Might Be Giants reference?
Boot him.
Did you, like, not even watch Tiny Toons as a kid, Paladin?
No, I couldn't hear the They Might Be Giants part.
Oh, okay.
If I'm scrambled, y'all can say something, and I'll fix it.
But that would ruin our fun.
In any case, Paladin, since that was just a matter of not hearing, we'll allow you to continue existing. I'm sure you're thrilled.
As much as I
see, this is why you don't admit to not getting the references.
Exactly. Okay, so back to you. They might be giants.
Okay. Ankh and Angie run away from the Shocker agents that were secretly cops, and they head to Couscousie to reconvene, and there they meet the kids again, conveniently.
Except now Couscousie is like Taco Amigo or something.
Snack Amigo.
Whatever. Same difference.
And then Ankh decides to become awesome again and threatens to snap one of the little boy's necks, which...
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Ankh
it's
is rad.
It's Ankh, though, so you know he'd never go through with it.
Yeah, but Ankh's willing to threaten to snap a kid's neck to get what he wants.
Well, yeah.
If he's not going to, he'll threaten it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other kid proves to be more of a badass by holding electric cattle prods up to his neck, saying he'll kill the shit out of him if he does.
And being able to hold up a car battery without any effort.
Yeah, this is where I start to really like this group of kids, because
you know,
apparently they're badasses.
The one flaw with the cattle prod thing, though, is that even if they kill Shingo's body, I'm pretty sure Ankh's hand would continue to exist.
But they don't know that.
No, but yeah. Ankh should know that.
Ankh does know that. However, he likes Shingo's body. He
well,
doesn't want it to be without Shingo's body.
Shingo's body is
always being in Shingo.
Shingo's body is just convenient. If he lost Shingo, he could go and insert himself in somebody else just as easily.
No,
I mean,
because
other
people
would
be awake and they'd force him out. Shingo's unconscious and comatose. He can't
fight
back the way Ankh likes it.
But in Shocker World with all these like little shanty towns and stuff, there's got to be people who are like wasting away and comatose. You know, plenty of potential cars to drive around. So to speak.
But if you don't want to pick up a car that's low on gas and it's falling apart.
You do if your presence magically makes it be a full tank and, you know, run fine.
And then again, Ankh could always just choke someone out like he did Shingo.
Yeah, but it was Shingo, though. So, you know.
Nobody cares about Shingo.
I mean, he went into a coma from crashing at 35 miles an hour.
Okay.
Resting the steering wheel.
Okay, you have a point.
But we were going somewhere with this.
I think it was a movie review.
In the meantime, Shocker's joining the United Nations.
I'm surprised that the United Nations still exists and Shocker hasn't just taken over the whole planet yet.
Well, apparently Shocker is the entire United Nations. Because
also Count Dragon is there.
Well, representatives from every major organization throughout the history of Kamen Rider are there.
Well, at least the Showa series.
No, Terror
and Terror
was there
for some reason
to represent Museum. See, that's
Terror
the thing.
There?
That's the thing. In the Heisei era, up until Museum, there really wasn't like organizations of villains in Rider series. They were either just like hostile species, which were loosely organized, if at all, or you know they.
Yeah, of course, you have the decade version of the Ten-Faced Demon.
Who?
From Amazon.
I didn't even pay attention to that.
Of course, considering that the version in Amazon was either a prop or a big setup that had one guy up on top and then like 10 other guys in the bottom part for the different faces.
But the point was, there was at the Shocker Roundtable, there were representatives from all the major powers in the history of Kamen Rider.
And you had a really cheap-looking Dorom.
Who?
Golgum. The guy who was...
Is that the one that was talking with Count Dragon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, the mask on that looks like it must have been like a live stage, like a stage show mask or something.
Probably was.
They recycle whatever props they can.
Yep. But that dragon suit they have is pretty good looking.
Well, not as good as the old one.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were mostly using decade stuff.
You know, this one is the benefits.
So these
from
suits are Decade's fault.
Yes,
yeah. Everything is. But Decade's fault. They were using the Decade Dragon suit,
which that one's not tainted by being associated with Saban's Masked Rider, so it's better.
And of course, as I mentioned, the ninth face, the ten face demon suit from Decade,
Apollo Geist. So anyway.
Back in the shitty future, or present, whatever it is, The cops raid the joint and everyone bolts. So
one kid just runs past those cops while they stand around and do nothing.
Well, they're cops.
And they're Shocker-affiliated.
So the council says is. Hmm. So AG and two of the kids run off into a nearby parking garage, I guess, that's somehow downtown, even though Kuskuske is like out in the suburbs. I don't know.
Yes.
They just ran across the cement pipe farm.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And through the quarry that's in every series.
So I run through the parking garage. They stumble into one of the kids they just left behind is already in front of them and captured by the mooks. And so the captured kid with glasses, or no, whatever, he begs for help. And awesome kid says, no, we're leaving. I love this kid. This kid's awesome. And so the kid's plan is, I'll let him die, but I'll get powerful and I'll come back for revenge. Awesome.
That sounds pretty Japanese to me. Because, you know,
that kid's going to be Batman when he grows up.
Right, you can't get stronger as a person unless you let all your friends die first.
Wow.
So, AG finally remembers that, oh yeah, I can transform and fight things.
Still has some medals, it, even AG. Though they stole the damn case.
AG.
Well, you know, he always carries around the Tatoba set anyway.
Except when he doesn't.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the writing demands otherwise. So anyway, then he's confronted by Rider 1 and 2.
Yay, backup! Oh god, my face!
You know, Rider 1 and 2, I can't see any appeal to them other than nostalgia, because those suits are terrible.
They should have used the first
version. Well,
that versions.
Sums up about 80% of the Showa era.
They should have dug out the suits from Masked Rider the First.
They should have, yes.
Oh, but the backlash for that
would be awesome.
Wouldn't be any worse than decades.
They should have used the helmet designs from the first season of the original show.
What was different about those? I forget.
Well, for one, the bottom part, the bottom mouth part of the mask was like leather or something and completely separate from the top. So sometimes when they were flipping, it would be down a little and you could see the actor's face.
Hmm.
And production the values. Helmet actually didn't go all the way back and you could see Hongo's hair.
Which is how the helmets in the first were designed,
right.
Actually, too. Okay.
Though it also would look better if they hadn't had Rider 2 go to having the same colored helmet as Rider 1 in the first place.
Okay, anyway.
I think they...
Okay, anyway! Anyway!
AG, of course, gets his ass kicked by Kamen Rider 1 and 2.
Well, he is just AG.
Then there's that guy on the playing card.
General Shadow?
Yeah, there you go.
So the kids throw AG back his medals, and AG's first response is, run away! Run away!
First smart thing he's done all day.
No, no, no. My first response would have been to change into Tajidoru and probably kick everybody's asses.
Yeah, melt all their faces off. But instead of, no, I'm going to try to flash that on you, then run away.
Because fire fixes everything.
Cleansing fire.
Well, yeah, especially considering the writers are bug type.
Oh!
I'll give you that one for it, Max.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wingus, you can't groan at that after some of the stuff you've pulled this episode.
Bullcrap! I reserve the right to groan at any joke.
So, AG and the Goonies run off to the stairway that they fight at.
And then half the mooks get run over by a train.
Which was awesome.
Well, that is the proper use of a denliner.
Yeah.
Run shit over.
Over.
Yes. Well, why have
Eddie Shine figured that out?
Well, you know, why have a time-traveling train at your disposal if you can't run things over with it?
A time-traveling flying train.
You know, that way you can use the time-traveling part and go back and run stuff over again and again and again and again.
So does Denliner run on a steam-powered flux capacitor, too?
No, it runs on a motorcycle.
A dirt bike, really.
Yeah. It's the best power plant that their money could buy.
Well, no, it works because owner told it to.
And of course, the Zero Liner.
That makes sense, actually.
And the Zero Liner has a similar setup.
So,
which apparently still works when Zero Liner turns into a helicopter.
The Din Liner rescues AG and the Goonies, and apparently the owner has stopped giving a shit about people needing tickets to be on the train.
Well, it is an emergency.
And the blue Imogen gives exposition about how they got in this shitty situation.
That's Teddy.
Okay, whatever.
That name's stupid, but that's what his name is.
Yeah. We'll just call him Exposition.
He's the smart that all the other Imogen are lacking.
He's got brains instead of a personality.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he does not have the personality components
of... No, it's not brains. He just has exposition.
Instead of a personality, yes.
And decency.
Well, okay. In a show like this, having exposition is essentially the same thing as having a brain. Because you are aware of and understand what's going on around you.
So he expositions everything that's went down. That they found the core metal, or the cell metal. And they combine it with
the
core
metal.
See,
it's not so easy, is it?
What was that?
I said it's not so easy, is it? Keeping those metals straight. Okay.
Anyway, they end up making a shocker greed out of two metals because
apparently they already had a core metal laying.
They had a Hawk metal. They had a Hawk core metal.
That must be where Kogami got it from originally.
They had core metal that they modified into the shocker core metal.
Translation: they ran it through those penny stamping machines.
No, they put it on a train track and waited for Denliner to run it over. Well, I guess technically, under the right circumstances, you would only need, you know, one cell metal to at least initiate the process. And then if you screwed with the core metal enough, it could probably do the rest of the job anyway. I mean, I could see how you could stretch O's
and plus, considering
that
Shocker does have a lot, would have their own alchemists, and so on.
But mostly you're just supposed to assume that it works because it did.
Right.
And move right along.
Moving right along.
Nothing to see here.
They figure out, you know, that Unk dropped a metal, so they go back in time to where they just were a minute later, or a minute earlier, or whatever.
And
they
handcuff Unk to Momotaros.
Well, they more like put Unk on a leash and give it to Momotaros. If they would have actually handcuffed Unk to Momotaros, it probably would have worked better.
But then we wouldn't have a movie.
I do love how Momotaros says that Ankh is the dog he's not afraid of.
Among other things.
I like the part right before that where they're trying to wrangle Ankh right before owner walks in, and Momotaros just flies through the air and spikes Ankh like a volleyball. He bounces off the floor, and then owner walks in and whoosh, lassos him with that chain and handcuff.
Because owner.
Yep.
Yes.
Supposedly the actor who plays owner has been several times on that Ultimate Ninja show in Japan.
That explains a lot.
Never won, though. I imagine the actor is just very eccentric, and that's another expression of that.
Although he does have an unsettling set of skills, as he's demonstrated. Like, he can spin things like no human should be able to.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that one bit in Climax Deca. With the...
Well, he was doing it in, episode Blue, too, wasn't he?
Probably.
Those giant-ass spoons?
Yeah, but I watched Climax Deca more recently than that, so that's what is in my mind right now. That and I wanted Dengasher. Anyway.
But the wrangling is all for naught because they smash Ankh against the Denliner window and he spits out four more cell metals.
Oops.
You know, for as hard as Ankh tries to hang on to as many cell metals as he can usually, he is just spitting these things all over the place today. It's like he wants to make trouble. It's like, okay,
no,
you chain
he does.
Me to this, you're going to chain me to this bootleg yummy? Well, I'll show you. A lot of you.
Man, that's like getting bad food at a restaurant and just... I can't finish this joke.
Oh, I thought that was the finish of the joke.
And you let it go all over the toilet?
Yes!
I ain't flushing that shit. Y'all are on your own.
And see, that's why I will not use public bathrooms when I can avoid it.
Well, the sinks are so much cleaner than toilets, I just use them.
Yeah. That's reasonable. Okay, so Ankh's giving everybody the middle finger, and then...
The Imogen split up to track down the cell metals and destroy them.
Yeah, I think the original intent was to retrieve them, and then somebody just decided, you know what, why don't we just blow these up?
It works just as well.
Sure.
One of the nice touches about the scene is that everyone's in period clothing, even kids. It's a small attention to detail, I noticed, because kids don't dress like that.
Well, yeah. if there's one thing that Denno does right, it's the costume changes.
Yeah, but generally they're only jumping back about 2 years or so when you're watching the main series. This is 40 years back.
Right.
Now, I like how they keep the music in for each of the Imogen.
Yeah.
All the different versions of Climax Jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they couldn't really use the double action variation since there's no Ryutaro this time.
So they get three of the medals, but the last one comes in front of this weird girl on a bike.
Yeah, she's part of the Kamen Rider's Boy Club. Or something like that.
Kamen Rider Scouts.
Well, that's how they translated it, but that's not what it sounded like they were actually saying.
Well, it's something from the original series in V3 anyway, so...
I was kind of afraid
of that. They've got their disco medallions and their saucy little scarves.
Yeah. So,
yeah. A nice dated outfit.
Of course. It is the 70s.
So, they see the Imogen and they immediately think, oh, these guys are Shocker. You're not getting your medal back.
Ha-ha.
I guess that's a natural reaction.
No, I mean, that does seem pretty sensible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do kind of look like monsters.
Well, they are monsters.
Well, yeah. Technicality.
It's all Ryotaro's fault for making them look like that.
That's true.
Dang it, Ryotaro.
But they're convinced again when new Denno transforms.
Because somehow they recognize that as a Kamen Rider. Despite looking absolutely nothing like one or two.
And the fact that, of course, Shocker's the one who made the Kamen Riders in the first place.
So we go from having a fairly logical reaction to just like, oh, okay.
Well, you gotta remember, the Shocker shows up and starts threatening them. So when they transform and fight back, they realize they're good guys.
But still, we have more metal tossing.
And then Rider 1 and 2 show up again, except they're good guys now. Like they're supposed to be.
Man, I'm getting so confused.
And again, there's another good music touch using the original Kamen Rider theme. Even if the suits suck.
If they would have just replaced those chest pieces. Looked like they were
It made sense in the 70s.
It looked like they were wearing cushions from lawn chairs.
That's probably what they used.
That's probably all the budget they had to work with.
Yeah, probably.
Or life jackets.
So anyway, long story short, they have a fight with Shocker, and they lose the medal, but then the V1 and V2 say, oh, well, we put a fake medal out.
With the
and
tracker
so it's got
on
transmitter. So they head on to the secret base, and then Shocker leader shows up and says, fooled you, and we gave you a fake to begin with.
First of all, Shocker leader pulls off the robe to reveal
he's
General Sukasa. Dark.
Oh, never mind.
And then, fooled you.
So he's General Dark Helmet.
Yes.
Oh.
But then we get the real Shocker leader, and they rip off his mask, and he's
full of snakes. And it just seemed like a really bad day at that point.
he's a kid at Chris villain.
And that no, of course, that first that no, they just lost. They had the real one all along. They just dropped a fake one.
It's the most convoluted sequence. I mean,
it's very 70s storytelling, which I guess is appropriate.
I
guess people actually
and the is Showa as heck.
Yeah.
I guess people actually acted like that in the 70s and it wasn't just on TV.
Kind of called some black and white.
It's always the drugs.
So they get punched to the surface of the lake somehow, and
Whee!
Toku style. And then Kappazooka pops out of the water and starts blowing up the Dinliner cars.
Well, that kind of blows.
Also, how the heck is he existing then?
Because this movie.
Yeah.
Also, they don't think to just move the Dinliner out of the way.
Actually, do we even know what time this is? Because they just jumped out of the Dinliner while they're driving, so there's no telling what year this actually is.
That's a fair point, too, I think.
Sometime before V3 started.
Because remember, they were... This is when they were... Well, this is more that Kappazooka, that turtle monster's from V3.
Huh.
Okay, just let it go.
So anyway, the burning Denliner goes back 40 years, and AG somehow found a ride vendor.
Somehow.
Before we forget... We left Teddy and the glasses kid behind.
Yes. That did happen.
But then it was
supposed to be very sad, but not really.
But then the Denliner blows up, both the riders lose their belts, and Momotaros is down to just a left arm.
And we've forgotten about Shingo.
Well, we always forget about the Shingo.
Yeah, Shingo's body disappeared from... pretty much the moment that Ankh jumped out of the train.
Yeah.
Until right about now is when he shows up again.
When he shows up again inside the building.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Maybe the director's cut will explain some of that.
Okay, no, I got this figured out. I got it figured out. The version of Shingo that they find in the building when they go back is actually the version of Shingo native to that timeline. And he has also just happened to fall into a coma for reasons unexplained.
Wait, I thought the way Dino's time travel worked, there weren't duplicate bodies, though. If you're time traveling, you're automatically sort of outside the timeline.
Or, wait a second, did we ever even see Shingo after they retrieved that first medal?
No.
No?
So here's what happened. Shingo's body was left in the snack amigo.
Yeah,
there's
probably.
Holes in this movie.
So they
big
just
enough
went
to
back
drive a
to the same time they were at, and Shingo's body was just... They had... Apparently someone had just hauled Shingo's body over.
Okay, but anyway... So now there's a left arm and a right arm. Or a right arm and a left arm.
Yes, Momo has been handized for whatever reason.
Just because.
Yeah, just because.
Cat drugs.
They find Teddy's sword form as a memorial with the boxes containing the scout uniforms.
Well, they had to turn Momo into a hand because it would be too convenient for him to be running around in his regular body normally.
Yeah.
Since and he's so they could have him possess Shingo, too.
Yeah.
I do think it's fantastic that even Momo's hand still acts like Momo.
Well, yes.
Well, you know, it's still going to be...
And it's still worth it to see the two of them fight over Shingo's body.
Even when it was just the hand, it was still what's-his-name that does all the main... rider suit acting. You know, he does Momotaros also, so...
But he was able to convey Momotaros just through a forearm, though.
Yeah, but, you know, you've watched him do climax form, so you can tell, you know, he can do whatever he needs to get the point across. I've seen an untranslated clip from the second Deno talk show where he's actually doing that on stage without the costume. I really wish that would get subbed sometime. I'd like to see that again. Okay, so, Momo and Ankh fighting over Shingo's body was pretty funny, too. Because Momotaros had primary control, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because after all, it had Momo hair.
Yeah.
Right.
And Ankh hair.
Momo Ankh hair.
Momonk.
Oh. Ankhataros.
Momo's probably better equipped to do possessing than Ankh is.
Yeah, Ankh doesn't seem to be strong enough to... for somebody out of possessing the body.
I just love that whole sequence, though.
And, of course, Momotaros is capable of possessing somebody who's awake, too, so that's their point in his favor.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Where were we at?
The three of them are caught and about to be crucified for some reason.
And also, I think that you have the one non-joke use of Hina's super strength.
And then they go and ruin it by having her hit people with a giant fist on a stick.
Yeah.
Well, if they're up on the, if they're on top of a 12-foot high wall,
but it's a giant fist on a stick.
That's what I used on your mom.
Right, but it's justified in that case.
I'm not sure. So, I want to know why.
I'm just saying, though, that kind of negates the what Fort Max is saying about that not being a joke use of her strength. She's hitting people with a giant fist on a stick. That's a joke.
Well, as exciting as talking about Hina is, we could be talking about how the three of them got dragged up to the hill to be crucified.
Yeah, there's that, too.
The symbolism is
deafening.
Well, less hill,
more that one big fountain square.
Hill, fountain square, it's all the same thing.
Isn't this where a bunch of people got frozen in O's?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, wait, no. It was the Shinkenger Decade crossover, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Probably that, too.
Yeah.
I think it was both.
Anyway, so they got Ankh, A.G., and Kotaro up on crosses in front of what I assume was everyone at Toei out in the watching them.
I think they actually rounded up extras off the street for this. Because, you know, Kamen Rider being what it is in Japan, who wouldn't want to go and be in a crowd shot in the movie?
Yeah.
Apparently not children.
Who needs kids anyway?
They were in school.
Certainly not Japan, because they're not having any.
Oh, snap.
And who are they selling all this crap to? Oh, wait, us.
We are single-handedly saving Japan's economy.
Yeah!
That's why the yen is so much stronger than the dollar now.
That explains so much. Sell to us for hundreds.
Okay, so strung up on the crosses, they're getting the machine guns out.
And not using them.
Of course, they never actually use the guns.
Well, no, because it's Japan. They can't use guns in a kids' show in Japan. Except for the time.
And then
suddenly,
V1 and V2.
Well, Rider 1 and 2.
Warrior Whatever. Leader and Warrior Commander.
At your service.
No, Warrior Leader and Nameless
also,
Guy.
Warrior Leader and also Warrior Leader.
Thing 1 and Thing 2 show up, surprisingly. And through more convoluted storytelling, apparently they're fine.
Apparently for 40 years they've just been pretending to be under Shocker's control and probably massacring hundreds, if not thousands, of innocent civilians in Shocker's name.
I guess they got this plan
from
movie Optimus Prime.
Except they play a much longer game than he did. Optimus Prime just let Chicago get destroyed. The writers let the whole world go to shit. And again, probably went with the massacring and everything. But it's cool.
Well, I'm sure if Optimus waited 40 years, the Earth would be a shithole too.
That's what I'm saying, though. They're just playing a longer game than Optimus did.
Yeah.
You know, he saw this nice city getting smashed to pieces and was like, okay, I think we've made our point. Let's go back and save them. Then they'll love us.
So
I'll get all the faces I could ever want.
One and two explain that, yeah, we just been sort of doing all this shit to you to pretend. The crowd loves it. They're super excited to hear they're good now.
Of course, that makes perfect sense.
Of course it does.
And this is about where the movie stops being about anything and is just a big fan wank.
Mm-hmm. It's basically the Kamen Rider version of Forever Red.
Well, it's basically all of those decade All Rider movies, except, you know, more so.
And less decade.
Well,
and
Decade
it makes
was
more
there.
Sense somehow.
Decade was there too, he just didn't say anything.
Because he knew everything was his fault.
Yeah.
Yes,
Decade.
But then anyway, they show up, there's a bunch of beating up going on, and then a wild troll appears.
Owner?
Yes.
Well, no, I mean V3.
Oh.
Well, Owner's a troll, too.
I love how the crowd knows to give Owner space.
Yeah.
Hundreds of people suddenly sense.
They don't need to. He just... They're just going to know, because... They don't need to know. They just will do it because
it's the
owner.
Force of his. Because it's the force of, yeah, it's the force of his personality. Now, if it was the station master, those people would have been running for their lives.
Now, at this part is
or something I really wish would have happened is if Kogami had been there with him.
Yeah, Kogami and owner.
Kogami and owner really would have been awesome.
Yeah, they needed to have at least one scene together.
Because I want to just see Kogami go on about the birth of a new revolution and how super rushy it is, and then they just fight Shocker Mooks back to back and it'd be badass.
I would totally watch like a
buddy
cop show.
No, owner wouldn't really. I can't really see owner fighting Shocker Mooks. I could see him just steering them down and maybe giving them a whack with one of them a whack with the cane, and that's it.
Well, no, he had his spoon nunchucks in that one episode.
Yeah, he would whack them with his fried rice spoons, not with the cane.
Right, but still, he would just whack one of them.
Although
one
no, what
Mook,
I,
and that would be and it would be over.
What I would see him doing actually is having a Dengasher again, like he did in Climax Deca for that one sequence, and just I don't know what form he would put it in, but he would just smack them or shoot them once with it, and they would all run away from him.
But yeah, I mean, but frankly, probably Owner and Kogami is probably. You probably couldn't actually contain that in one thing.
No.
Well, there would be no need to have the writers anymore at that point anyway.
So in between the grunt fighting, a mysterious man in white tosses the O's driver back to Eiji, which has the Tatoba medals again for some reason.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Everything else is out the window.
Well, at some point, Eiji and the others were let down from the crosses, right?
By other people in the crowds, yeah. And by the kids, people in the crowds, Hina.
They play a game of keep away with belts.
Yes.
That was them there on the corner. That was them in the spotlight.
So anyway.
Shotaro and Philip show up, redeeming the entire movie.
That was pretty awesome the way they showed up, too.
Well, there's an entire roll
yeah,
call
Shin
with
showed
the
up. Those two twins showed up.
10 other dudes showed up.
But
and then
Sheriff
Philip just
walked
in. It's like, hey, what's going on in this movie, dudes? Oh crap! You need help. Let's do this.
But first, let's pose.
Yes.
Because we all
ignoring
have to
that. Ignoring that a guy in a street car is getting threatened by, like, three of the strongest dopants ever. But we gotta pose.
Yep.
Did we just lose Mickey?
Yes, Mickey seems to have fallen off.
Hey, Mickey, come back!
The awesome return of Shotaro and Philip was so great it knocked him off the call.
It sure did.
For a nickel?
I'd pay a whole dollar for that.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yes, that.
What was that?
I don't know.
A little sound button thingamajig.
Stop that.
Oh.
Did the cow just move to someone else's house?
Well, he's still showing online.
He's just not answering.
Okay.
Just coupled with the expression he's making in his icon, watching that little phone ring. He's just amusing the crap out of me. It's like, I'm okay, except I'm not answering. No, yeah.
I wonder what's up.
Not his internet, maybe.
Well, yeah, except he's still showing online on Skype, so.
Well, Skype's just cruel that way.
Yeah, Skype's a jerk.
Yeah, it really is a jerk. Well, I guess while we're waiting for him to come back, we could continue with the movie.
Okay. The roll call thing with the past writers was cool, even if it really doesn't make any f***ing sense.
Well, yeah. It never makes any sense. And they stop right at Shin. Because, like, who?
Because nobody wants to f***ing watch Shin.
Or
except
cheer
for you. Well, they don't cheer for Zeto or Jay either.
Well, they're the same guy.
They do look a lot alike, don't they?
Yeah.
That was probably a bad idea.
So, if they ever do figure arts of those two, which one will be the Tamashii Web exclusive repaint?
Both of them.
What, put the same mold in like a two-pack?
Well, whatever. So, then the guys that you actually know who they are show up. You know, Kuga and all of them.
Yeah.
Right, the modern ones.
Yes. Mickey seems to have abandoned us.
Dang it, Mickey.
Damn the cow.
Well, now there he's showing offline. Maybe his power went out. Fort Max, stop calling him. He's offline now.
Hmm.
Which has means either something has failed or he just really doesn't want to talk to us. Although I don't
either
think
that or he's just either that or he just switched the movie after Show and Phil did their thing, switched the movie off.
Couldn't blame him.
Aw.
Well, it was the best part.
Yeah.
Okay, so well, all the writers show up and, you know, stuff.
And they kind of lose the momentum with the roll call when Show and Philip do their thing, and then it goes back to AG beating some dudes up, and they're like, oh yeah, oh!
But first, Deno's still fighting with that stupid Momo sword.
That sword is awesome, shut up.
No, how does that? How can that even work?
It's Momotaro's!
Yeah, and his own sword looks a lot more sensible than that.
Yeah, but
why does he have to turn into
himself? He is unsensible.
Why does he have to turn into a hat rack?
Because it looks cool and it's on.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't look cool at all.
It looks ridiculous.
They should have just used a slightly modified red machete. That would have made a lot more sense.
What, with, like, no gun part?
Yeah, and a different shaped face and horns.
Yay. I don't know. I think the ridiculousness works from what I've seen of Momo.
Where's my phone?
Are you going to wave spider guts at me?
Anyway, continue.
But then, of course, Teddy comes back.
Yay!
Oh, well, then I guess we can't use him as a sword after all.
And then Momotaros pulls out the Deno belt for some reason.
Well, first Momotaros is, well...
He's suddenly a full body again.
Somehow.
For some reason. Because, yeah, like I said, everything else is out the window, so just let it go.
Yeah. Oh, look, now Paladin's coming out of Wingus. We're back to that again.
Oh my.
Okay, let's wrap this up quickly because we're running long.
Okay. The other Imogen come back too so they can climax.
All at once.
And then amazingly, Oz fights using the hawk head to find that invisible Imogen.
You mean he actually remembered one of the special abilities he has?
Amazing, ain't it?
He remembered all three of them. He used the claws and he did the jump.
Oh, yeah, he did the jump
and
kick.
And isn't this the first time he used the Hawk Metal special powers anyway?
Chronologically, it might be.
Yeah. Because there's like the one time he used it against Kazali to get the water medals.
So is this the first time he used the Tatoba kick and it was actually, like, useful?
It might be, yes.
Because that thing just kind of sucked the rest of the time.
And meanwhile, General Shadow is stopped by four guys in really, 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 really ugly costumes.
Ah, the 70s.
Like, uglier than the entire rest of the Showa era costumes.
And Cowboy Ninja Pokemon guy.
Yeah, so we got two Kikiders, a Zubat.
Kikider 01, Inazuman, and the Magnificent Zubat.
Just when you thought you left Mount Moon behind.
Son of a bitch, a wild Zubat appeared.
Hate those things.
Next time use Repel.
Even a murderous Geodude would have been better.
So but yeah, still, the Chakra Greed is kicking everyone else's ass. Along with the Snakehead guy. What the hell's his name again?
Great Leader.
Yeah, good enough.
Yeah, the yeah.
And so Ankh decides to fight back by pulling core metals out of other people's asses.
Yeah, somehow he rips a core metal out of Momotaros.
And they get the chakra metal that started this f***ing mess.
Because I guess somehow everybody has a core metal somewhere inside them.
Well, also, he's a bootleg yummy.
Well, if he's a bootleg yummy, he shouldn't have a core metal.
And it's like chrome.
By Google?
Chrome.
By Google?
Arhar.
And apparently kicking the Shocker Yummy or Shocker Greed into a cliffside is apparently more useful than just plain kicking it as they did in the past.
I guess.
And then suddenly the ground... And then they celebrate a little, then the ground cracks open, and...
And then for a little while, there's Tamashii.
Yeah.
Yo's form that's only useful for doing a fiery Kamehameha wave.
Yes.
Yeah, we can't overlook Tamashii form.
Well, the writer certainly did.
Ha ha!
No, it was there just long enough to advertise its exclusive toy. Kamehameha sold separately.
But then as the great god of Shocker wakes up, the other riders finally show up.
Yes. Well, and first, all the other head villains end up falling into the same place where Zords always end up falling.
The fiery chasm.
Yes.
So they all bust out their bikes and drive through it just like they did with Serpentera. So this really is Forever Red for Kamen Riders.
Holy crap.
After they form a fiery 40 in the air.
Yes.
You know, what they really should have done is combined all their powers to resurrect Kamen Rider Core to fight Super King Dark or whatever it was.
No, let's forget that movie exists.
Well, yeah, but you know,
before Core?
No, because Core was in the winter, and this came out in April.
Okay. This is the All Riders movie. That was the Movie Wars movie.
I'm just saying, though, you know, they have the concept of Kamen Rider Core, who is supposed to be the spiritual embodiment of all Kamen Riders, so that would have been a thing to do.
Cool. Not really.
No, not really.
He was a Kamen Rider that was on fire. He was Ghost Kamen Rider.
You know, if they could have had Decade be a little bit more involved in this, they could have given him a new card for the K-Touch that would have let him combine all the writer's powers and make, you know, Captain Planet.
Look, are we going to have to talk you out of liking Core?
Oh, I don't like Core. Don't get me wrong.
No, I'm talking
there
to Wingus.
Oh.
I like Core the writer. I don't like Core the movie. Because making things on fire always makes them cooler.
Like the number 40.
Okay, so anyway. Sometimes it makes things cooler.
So if I set you on fire, does that make you cooler?
No, that makes me on fire.
But you just said that things that are on fire are cooler.
Shut up!
That's
so anyway,
why I am me.
Cat drugs.
So after yeah, you have all the secondary writers and CGI secondary writers standing next to
I don't even think it's CGI. I think it's just like stock photos matted together.
Maybe it's just cardboard cutouts.
Same difference. But yeah, you know, it would be pretty much physically impossible to have all of them there together at once. So just have to
even
make
if
do.
It was just guys in suits.
Well, you still need enough guys to fill the suits.
And you'd also need enough suits.
Well, all the secondary rider suits are around somewhere.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's either the Garen suit or the Gil suit that's completely useless now.
Well, they did mess up Garen pretty good at the end of Blade, so I wouldn't be surprised if that was it. I know they had the Gil suit still available during Decade, so
yeah, it was the Garen suit.
Although they had Garen in Decade too, so who knows.
And when the final fight is over, the movie makes one last stab at having an actual plot.
And also a really good attempt at still making absolutely no sense.
Well, they don't really need to attempt that part.
Yes, they are wildly successful at that.
Yes, and that old scientist guy who tossed his driver is actually the kid that they left in the 70s.
And is the father of the kid who was going to cattle prod Ankh.
Yeah. Well, the father of the kid who was of the father of
the kid who
his,
was
his
best
friend
when
from
he was
childhood.
A kid. Yeah.
Father's brother's nephew's cousin's former roommate.
And
I am my own grandpa.
That is the reaction from everyone else is...
What?
Yes.
So these people are from the south of Japan, right?
Well, the good news is his son now lacks the Delta brainwave and can fight the brain spawn.
Kotaro, did we forget anything? I have a feeling we forgot something.
We forgot Skull!
Oh, crap.
But old little kid guy now says that he doesn't want to lose his memories of the last 40 years because it's very important to him or something. I don't know.
Well, he'll lose them anyway when he gets Alzheimer's.
But basically, he's asking them to make sure that the timeline stays the way it was with the horrible shocker invasion and all, just so that he can continue to exist as he does now. Which strikes me as pretty damn selfish.
Yeah.
And stupid.
Yeah, that too.
But of course it won't matter anyway, because...
This is out of continuity.
Right. And plus, and plus, this is how Deno time works anyway.
Yeah, Deno time travel is weird.
Meaning that time exists because people remember stuff.
Which is why you can't find Joyce DeWitt anywhere, because nobody remembers her.
Who?
Exactly.
It was so appropriate that even Pinky and the Brain has made that joke. So that's
and
pretty
so
much...
And so that was Let's Go Kamen Riders.
It yep. sure was.
Yeah. It makes no sense, but it was fun to watch.
It makes It makes no sense, but it was a lot better than Core.
That doesn't say much.
I've took dumps that were better than Core.
Well, except for the skull part. That was good.
Is that counting this show or no?
Oh.
Well.
Superhero time. It's better than War Core.
I am not sure I could make that statement.
Yeah, we don't have that nice skull segment to start us off.
We could. Somehow.
No, I don't think so. Couldn't. None of us is hard-boiled enough to wear the hat.
We're not even half-boiled enough to wear the hat.
I can't even wear the hat. My head's too big.
Do any of us even own that hat?
Well, I would if it would fit me.
I want to, damn it.
But again,
I'm not sure how much it costs now.
My head's too big.
I could wear the hat on my thumb, but that doesn't quite
I don't
fit.
Think that's how hats work.
I'm not. Also, I don't think Japanese are quite that small.
No, but the toys are.
They're close. But yeah,
short joke.
That sure was movie work, or no, that wasn't movie work. Or that sure was the other thing that it actually was.
Let's go, Kamen Riders.
We'll go with that until I remember.
Let's
what
go
I was
cat gonna... drugs.
We'll go with that until I remember what I was actually going to say.
Okay.
So yeah.
So what's on the schedule for next week?
I don't think we have any.
No,
I probably
well, it's not like we could get worse.
I probably had something in mind, but I've completely forgotten now.
And since you're breaking up, we're probably going to lose the call again.
Well, I hope not. Well, anybody have any ideas for next week's show?
Sorry, Vaughn.
Well, I think we all understand by now that Fort Max is disqualified from making suggestions. So it's more like...
So it's the person who made us watch Armor Heroes.
So it's more like Paladin. Any idea for what's next week?
Oh, crap.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a regular. I don't get to give ideas.
And like I said before, if I knew how bad Armor Hero was before I watched it, I wouldn't have assigned it out.
Yes, you would have.
Either that or I would have watched through farther to see if there was actually a good episode in there somewhere. But there's probably not. Let's see. What haven't we done, or at least not done in a while?
We could do something from the Mighty Morphin era.
Oh, you know what we could do?
What?
VR Troopers. Given that it's all on Netflix now.
What about if we don't have Netflix?
Well, somebody has put it up for download from Netflix. Which means we don't have to deal with those cruddy VHS quality episodes that used to be floating around.
Or the no episode, or the nothing that there was for a bunch of episodes.
Yeah, like most of season 2. and season one.
Well, VR Troopers is a bunch of nothing.
So, I mean, that would be an option.
What or else? The Magnificent Zubat.
Or not.
Or Brave Command Dagwon, if I knew where to find it.
I don't think so. And again, Fort Max is disqualified from making suggestions. I wonder whatever happened to Mickey, anyway.
Did he send you a message or anything?
I tried to send him a text, but I haven't gotten a response yet.
That's not a good sign.
Oh, wait.
Did he say anything on Twitter?
No, I got a text back. My phone was on silent, so I didn't notice it. Oops.
Ow, that hurt. I facepalmed too hard.
Now, this is good. Cat spilled full glass of milk over desk, pants, and carpet. Angry face.
Wow.
So apparently he's dealing with that right now. Mickey had to go and change his pants.
So in other words, we can assume his computer blew up.
Well, he didn't mention the computer getting hit.
Just the desk.
No use crying over spilled milk.
I'm asking him if we should wait for him to come back.
Well, it's a little late for that now, isn't it?
Well, at least before we finish the show up, you know. But while I'm doing this, somebody could be thinking of something to watch next week. Someone who's not Fort Max.
You shot down my suggestion.
How about the episode of Power Rangers with the Shogun Ultrazord?
Which one?
I don't know. I'll have to look that one up. Give me
Wasn't there two of them?
Shogun Ultrazord? No.
Oh, did it only appear once?
It may have been a two-parter, but yeah, it only appeared once.
See, Face Stealer was the Ninja Ultrazord one, I think.
Was Discordia the Shogun Ultrazord episode?
I believe so, yeah.
But that also features the metallic armor, if I'm not mistaken.
It might.
Master Vile in the metallic armor?
So basically it has all of the highlights from Season 3 in one place. Including Lord Zedd coming onto one of his monsters. Because, you know, why not? But hey, I'd be up for that. It's definitely different from what we've been doing the last several weeks, isn't it?
And it's something we haven't done in a long time.
And it's something that there's good quality DVD rips of, too.
And it's on Netflix.
From Germany. And yeah, Netflix, I guess, too. Okay, so what's the actual title of the episode?
Just Another Minute.
While you're at it, you might
I don't think that's an episode.
While you're at it, you might want to confirm that the Shogun Ultrazord actually does appear in that episode before we go and pick it based on that criteria. I bet that's on Joe Rovang's site, that information.
I think it's Sound of Discordia.
Okay, let me see.
Which is probably not any better than Sound of Thunder.
It's probably slightly less hilarious than Sound of Thunder.
Yeah, Sound of Discordia.
Let's see. Shogun Ultrazord.
Yeah, just Sound Google search. It only showed up in Sound of Discordia.
Well, I just went to Joe Rovang's website and found it the same amount of time. So if it's Power Rangers and it's trivia, you can bet I'm finding it on his sites. So yeah, that sounds like it'll work out just fine.
Because why not? Well, I'm sure we'll find out why not next week.
Yeah, I would say so. All right, so we'll go with that, and then, you know, whatever else comes up in the meantime. So that's probably the end. Mickey's still crying over his spilled milk, but I'm sure he'll be back next time to transform our day into an adventure.
And probably crying his beer.
He doesn't drink beer. He drinks vodka because he's refined and sophisticated. And wants to get drunk a lot faster. All right, thanks for listening, et cetera, you know, regular deal. And thanks to Wingus for coming and talking about Cat Drugs McMovie with us.
Hey!
Because it's not like he had anything else better to do.
Yeah.
Right.
So sad.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates.
Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
I'm sure we'll regret it.
We always regret it.
I regret nothing.
Tighten up.
Ugh.
You're a terrible liar.
Not this again.
Just gotta keep it real.
Oh, no. There's some lines that even the Pungeon Master doesn't cross, mister.
Right on.
That's because your puns give power to terror.
It's okay, though, because time judges all.
Time judged your mom.
You just gotta shout it out.
All right, time to
rebirth
this.
I guess Burakawani doesn't have a theme song.
Well, nobody's perfect.
What a heartbreaker. I guess Mickey's not coming back.
Not full force, anyway.
Well, he never did want to live forever.
Wait, did we just segue into Furmanisms?
Right off the cliff.
Oh, dang it!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.